Turning our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, we are going to finish today, by God's grace, yes, we're going to finish today the man's law versus God's law, and we're going to probably get into the most difficult of man's, the thing that the Lord tells man to do, most difficult. And I'm going to kind of turn the tables a little bit because I got to thinking this way myself, and I want to just kind of come at it a little bit different angle than normal. But if you look in verse 38, the Bible says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth." And I have to believe that this is a very, very famous saying that the vast majority of us, if not everybody in this room, has heard at one time or another. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. I am sure that you have heard several times over that many men have said, "Well, you know what, let's go ahead and let's just go ahead and say that, an eye for an eye and tooth." And sometimes I think that we might be better off if we just did that. But that's not what the Bible's speaking of here. What the Bible's speaking of here is how your attitude is, your personal attitude. Yes, Matthew chapter 5. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 5. The Bible deals more with your attitude and how you see things. And these are in everyday dealings. These are in common dealings. These are in things that you will go through in an everyday occurrence of your life. And the Lord, again, is speaking to disciples here. The Lord, again, is speaking to saved people here. And this is not something that nobody goes through. This is something that everybody goes through, that somebody slights you in some way or somebody does something to you in some way and you feel like you've got to get retribution. A lot of people have used this verse to say, well, and I know this is jumping the gun here a little bit, but I know a lot of you have heard this verse in use of for capital punishment. And then the Lord rebukes the people saying, no, you ought not do that. You ought not. This is not dealing with this. This is not dealing with capital punishment. This is not dealing with those type of situations. The Lord is for capital punishment. The Lord, if you go through the Old Testament for 10 minutes, you'll see that if people shed innocent blood, that their blood should be shed. That's not what this is talking about. This is not talking about how do we take care of murderers and how do we take care of people like that. How do we take care of cold-blooded people? How do we do those things? That's not what this is talking about. And there's a lot of verses that you can go back and forth with the debate of whether or not we should use capital punishment. I'm just going to be honest with you up front. I am very, very for capital punishment. I would, to be honest with you, I wish we could speed things up a little bit in capital punishment. I wish we could empty a few of our jails, as it were. Amen. Okay? I am more for the advocate of that, but that's not what the Lord is talking about. 5 seconds of context reading here, and I am, oh my goodness, if you know anything about me, I am a scripture guy. I want to know what the scripture says. I don't care about man's tradition. I care about what scripture says. If you take just 5 seconds of context scripture reading, you'll understand he's not talking about that. He's talking about your everyday life, where we feel like we've got to get back at each other for stuff. He's talking to disciples saying, yeah, he slighted you, and you feel that you should go back after him, and he should give you full retribution and more. Let's look at what this says. It gives you a whole new attitude. One of the most difficult things that a Christian has to do, do we want to live Christ-like? See, if we want to live Christ-like, we cannot leave these verses out. That's what church has become. Church has become, I will take what I want from the Bible and let go whatever else is in there. I live a great Christian life according to these two things. But the rest of the things I kind of lack on, if you see what I mean. Let's look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 38, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." I'm not sure that we have lived that. I am pretty sure that we've not lived that. It's the most difficult thing you'll ever have to do, watching somebody tear you up, I'm talking over any little thing, and then letting them go ahead and tear you up some more. Look at this. "And if any man shall sue thee," or "any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Now, if you know anything about suing people, the Bible directly forbids Christians to sue each other. Directly. And it's black and white. As a Christian, you are not allowed to sue another Christian according to Scripture. We ignore most Scripture, so whatever. Okay? We take what we want and leave out the rest. So if somebody really tears you up and takes away your property, oh, well, bless God, I'm going to sue them. That is the way to make money today. It's almost like a wage earner. How did you earn your wages this year? I sued three people. Worked out great. I turned in three fraudulent insurance claims and sued two people. It worked out great. Oh, I know we're above that, right? But the Bible says if you get sued, it shouldn't be from another Christian. You should feel in your heart that you, obviously, if you did something wrong, you should feel in your heart, I wish I could repay. You need to have the attitude, I wish I could make it right. And it may take more than what you took to make it right. As a Christian, we should want to make things right. The Lord's telling you that you are going to do wrong things. You are going to do things that maybe you shouldn't have done. And a lot of times by accident. Don't think for 1 minute. And listen, if you have an attitude where you want to do something to somebody on purpose, check your salvation. You got problems, okay? You ought never want to hurt somebody on purpose. That's foolishness. But you are going to hurt somebody. I mean, I've hurt so many people in my entire life. I wish I had a dime for every one of them. I'd be wealthy. We'd be building a building tomorrow. It happens. But you should be willing and wanting to make things right. You should be willing and wanting to do what you can to help that situation to get back to normal. Brother offended is harder to be won than a walled city. So you don't want to offend each other. Look at what this says in verse 41. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. To give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. That's hard. When you go to loan something, honestly, you shouldn't expect what you loan back. That's difficult. And I'll tell you what happens. If you loan without expectation of getting it back, you don't have to worry about feeling bad when they don't give it back. Because a lot of times you'll lend money to somebody and they won't pay you back. They're a dirty dog for the rest of your life. If you're going to loan something out, brother, you better make sure that you're not expecting to get that back. Be more of a gift giver than a loaner. To be real honest with you, the Bible really kind of talks against loaning at all. It really does. And to me, you really shouldn't be a person that's loaning out things to make sure you get them back. You should be loaning out things to be a blessing to somebody. If they give it back, amen. If they don't, you knew that might be coming. In this day and age, it's easy for the world to infiltrate the heart of a Christian. It's easy for the world to infiltrate the heart of a Christian, teaching them to be looking out for number one at all times. That's the worst thing a Christian can do, is looking out for number one. The Bible doesn't teach that in any way, shape, or form, ever. To look out for number one. To look out for, I want to make sure I protect me. And I'm not saying to be foolish. I'm not saying to be frivolous, to just start chucking your money out and chucking your possessions out. I'm just going to give them out wherever I can, because that's what Brother Dave taught. No, the Bible says to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. If you know you've got a criminal, don't lend the money. If you know you've got somebody on the other hand that's not going to give it to you, maybe reconsider your loaning capabilities. Not that difficult. You're not supposed to be dumb. Sure, I'll give out $150. We have people stop at this church, preacher, I would say daily, looking for money, handouts. You would be amazed at what happens. They will do amazing things to get you to feel sorry for them. They will bring a sick child with a swolled eye saying, we don't have gas to get to Akron. You got gas to get to Robinson. The kid needs help now. I'll walk them to Robinson for you. They will do whatever they can to try to get formula for their child. It's always around a baby. It's amazing. They will do whatever they can to get money out of it. And I'm not against helping people. But you got to be very careful. Very few people this church turns away. Very, very few. The vast majority of them will do our best to give them $5 worth of gas or $10 worth of gas. You say, well, Brother Dave, that's not very much. Listen to me. You give somebody like that cash, you just frittered it away. They literally are going to go drink that money that you just gave them, or they're going to shoot it up in their arm, or they're going to smoke it in a... You got to be very, very careful. But when you're talking about dealing with people, and you're going to lend out money, you should really be careful what you do, because if you're going to have a bad attitude towards them after you've loaned it, you should have never loaned it in the first place. It's your fault. It's your fault that you loaned it out. Don't tell them, well, I'm going to loan you this money with full expectation of getting it back. Loan that money with full expectation of not getting it back, and if you do, it's gravy. I know that's hard, but this is what the Lord is trying to teach us. The Lord is trying to teach us that we should not be each other's banks. The Lord is trying to teach us that we should not be each other's loan modification specialists. We should be each other's friend. We should be each other's, the Christian brothers that we are. We should try to do our dead level best to make sure that we're never uncomfortable with each other. You know, money is the thing that comes between people so fast. And the Lord deals with money. He deals with it. Money, possessions, whatever it is, it comes between people so fast. You should really, as Christians, do your best to, if you're going to begrudge the money, don't loan it. Don't loan it, because you're going to put a schism between you and that brother, and you don't want to do that. Let's look at further. Then it gets into verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. You've heard this preached, I promise you, at least 50 times in your life to love your enemies, but it's still difficult. The Lord himself on earth is preaching this message saying, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That is hard. Because I have people that do not like me at all. And them not liking me, they take every available opportunity to make sure I know that they don't like me. So one of the things you want to do is eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You want to go ahead and say, and talk to the people all around you. This is how I feel about them. These people are wrong, rotten, dirty. The Lord says to love them. I'm going to be honest with you. The hardest thing for a person that has somebody that doesn't like them is if that person loved them first and then didn't like them. Now your heart's broke on top of it. And the first thing you want to do as a Christian is jump out and start punching and start. You are going to lead. Listen to me now. You got to listen to me. If you live your life there, you are going to live a very short life, a very gray-headed life, a very bitter life, and all those things just breed that cancer inside of you, that bitterness that just eats at you and gnaws at you. The Lord's trying to help your life here. The Lord's trying to help your life. I'm not talking about running around being a sissy. That's not what the Lord was never a sissy ever a day in his entire ministry here on this earth. The Lord was a man right up front. I got to be honest with you, it takes more of a man to turn the cheek. It takes more of a man to not say anything bad. I love my father, my dad. Through all the times that he went through pain and torment and people were against my dad, my dad's so much better than me in this. I've never heard him utter a bad word about anybody, ever. I'm not lying to you there. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. He's never said a bad word. When my mom and dad had trouble and they split up, my dad never said a bad word about my mom, ever. It didn't matter what people said about him or what people did to him, never did he say a bad word. I'm going to tell you right now, I love my dad and respect my dad so much for that, for never saying anything bad. Here's what it helped him. Because he never said anything bad, it gets back to the people that he never said anything bad. Everything you do gets back to the person. I got to be honest. There is no confidence when you're talking to people. I got something to tell you, but you can't tell anybody else. You just lost. That's it. You lost. We're a bunch of lying, stinking, rotten sinners. Don't tell a lying, stinking, rotten sinner something that you can't let anybody else know, because they're going to let somebody else know. And it's going to get back to the person what you said. I'm living proof, brother. I can attest to that. What you say about people, whether it's true or not, it could be true. But the worst thing that hurts somebody is the truth. So you let them have it. Guess what happens? You just started that whole circle of fire again, and that thing is going to get worse and worse and worse. More gasoline gets poured on that baby. Next thing you know, it is so much torment and so much hatred, it can never be reconciled. Christian, don't do it. In your hearts, do your dead level best. If you know somebody that's against you, you know somebody that hurts you, love them. Love them, say good things about them, say nice things about them, because that'll get back to them too. And what would be better for you? To be labeled the gossip? To be labeled the backbiter? To be labeled the filthy mouth sinner? Or to be labeled somebody that, even through the hard times, even through the rough times, you never said a bad word about them? Never. You don't have to like them. Pray for them. You don't have to like them. See, the thing is, they're going to sleep tonight. Will you? Think about that. That bitterness, that thing that gets inside of a Christian, that thing that stops you from serving God. Because if you think you're serving God when you're talking bad about somebody else, you're not serving God. That thing that takes you away from serving God, it's one of the greatest wiles the devil has in his arsenal, is the wile of gossip, the wile of doubt, the wile of your tongue, the wile of your heart from which the things that come out of your mouth proceed from. The wiles that are in your life, that are in our lives. And I'm not putting you up on the board for display. I'm putting myself on the board for display as well, Christian. We're all guilty. To sit here and think for 1 minute that you're not guilty, that is a sad, sad statement. You're guilty. I'm guilty. Everybody's guilty of either thinking it or feeling it. Thinking it's one thing, saying it's a completely different animal. And Christ desperately wants us to be able to get along. How are you going to get along in a church where you got somebody that comes and sits next to you, you can't even think about God anymore? Dr. Gray made a wonderful statement. Is there somebody that can come into this church right now and sit next to you and your whole church service is washed? Is there somebody that can come and sit next to you and all you'll think about the whole time is, I can't believe that brackety, brackety, brack person sat next to me. I can't believe that person graced the door. Glory to God, they don't even, they look like they're godly, but they're not godly. They're rotten, rotten to the core. I can't believe they're in here. Rotten, rotten, I tell you. And the whole time the preacher's talking about Jesus' love and Jesus' concern for you and Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you, the whole time you're talking about, man, I wish they would die. I wish that God would come down and smite them right now. God, where are you? Where are you, God? Where's that lightning bolt? Sure could use it right now. What a terrible attitude. And your whole church service is washed. You could be ready to go to the altar and give your whole life to God, but you're too worried about giving your whole life to grab pitchforks and jam it into that person sitting next to you. I've done it. I've wondered what would happen if the person that hates me came sat next to me. There should be an attitude in your heart. The Lord's trying to teach us something here. Most difficult thing you'll ever do, Christian, is give it away. Listen to me now. The most difficult thing you'll ever do in your whole life is giving away bitterness. Amen. Giving it away. That feeling, that hurt, that you just lost. You lost. Oh, I'm a man. I shouldn't lose that battle. I'm a man. But they're defiling my honor. I'm a man. Oh, man, it's hard. No, you're a man if you let it go. You're a man if you come to the altar and pray for them. Pray for them that they won't hurt like you hurt. Pray for them that they won't feel the way you feel. Pray for them that they can get closer to God too. It's amazing to me. I've come to the conclusion of this. Another person's godliness is none of my business. Hear that. I want you to hear that statement. Another person's godliness is none of my business. A lot of people live false lives. A lot of them do. People sitting in this room lead false lives. People have preached from this pulpit leading false lives. You can't get away from it. We're human. The question is, are you leading a false life? Not whether they are or not, that's none of your business. How godly a person is should be none of our concern. How godly we are should be our concern. Boy, that's good preaching. Thank you, Brother Dave. I needed to hear that today. I needed to hear that I should be closer to God, not worrying about whether they're closer to God. I should be worried about how close my relationship is with the Savior, not how close theirs is. I should be worried how many people I'm leading to Christ, not how many person they said they did lead to Christ. Boy, it's starting to hurt now, brother. My feet are out there, and I just don't think you've been off of them all morning. You got to remember what the Lord talked about in the very first part of this message. The very first part of this Sermon on the Mount, he dealt with how we should be inside. If you are the way that you should be inside, the very first part of the message that he preached to you, you should read those Blessed Be's a lot. That will teach us how to live. And if we live there, we will never get to this part. We'll never get here. He won't have to make any more stipulations if we live in the Blessed Be's. He will never have to make any more stipulations on how you should act when somebody despitefully uses you. And here's where I'm going to turn it around. Here's where I'm going to turn it around. If we live in the Blessed Be's, we'll never be part of the people that despitefully use somebody. Are you going to sit here and tell me that you've never despitefully used somebody? Are you going to sit here and tell me that you've never talked bad about somebody else and you fired the first shot? Are you going to tell me that you've never come into this place with an anger at somebody and then use that anger against them in some way? Are you going to tell me that we're innocent in here of never talking bad about somebody or making something happen that would hurt that person? Are you going to tell me that we've never done that? If we live in the Blessed Be's, if we live in the first part, Christ would have never had to tell his disciples anything else. If we live in that first part, we would never have to worry about. See, here's the thing. I've had people get mad at me. I've heard people get mad at this preacher. You know what's sad about that? What's sad about that is and I take this for what it's worth. I'll use him as an example. He prays for you. He loves you. He watches over your souls for you. That's the command that God has given him. The job that he has, the calling that he has is that he has to watch for your souls. It's amazing how many souls talk bad about the preacher. The ones that he watches over, the ones that he loves, the ones that he cares about. So you're telling me that there's never a time when he lashes out in anger. You know our preacher. Sure there is. I would to God we were never a person that made him lash out. I would to God I was never a person that called for the retribution back to me. I would to God that I was never a person that deserved what I got. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes we talk bad about people and they deserve it. It's true, they deserve it. But as Christians, we should be on the thought process of not giving people what they deserve. Because we've got a Savior that didn't give us what we deserve. I realize this is the most difficult thing a Christian will ever do. It is. It is the most difficult thing. If you become a Christian, you have this put on you and it's difficult. And it's hard because we're knee-jerk reaction people. As soon as something happens, we want to... As soon as something happens. But if you would sit back, just take a breath, just take a moment, just sit back and don't become the person that deserves the retribution. Don't become the person that somebody else has to pray for. Don't become the person that somebody else has to be nice to even though they don't want to. Don't become the person that has to ask somebody to turn the other cheek while you deck them on the left one. Don't become the person that has to have somebody take one on the chin for you. Christ is begging his people, his children here, his Christians. If we want to get along, there's going to have to be times when we take one on the chin. If we want to get along, there's going to have to be times when we do things that we don't want to do. I remember my dad making the statement to me that every one of your dads has made to you in one time or another in your life. Sometimes you got to do the things you don't want to do. And it's true. Now, you can philosophize and you can say, well, everybody does only what they want to do. That's not true. That's not true. I know a lot of people that do things that they don't want to do. So they can avoid conflict, so they can avoid trouble. Not being a sissy, but realizing that listen to me now, you got to hear this. If we don't get away from the petty squabbles and the petty quarrels that we have and the petty thoughtless stupidity that we go through as Christians, how is Christ ever going to be magnified? How is God ever going to be glorified if we spend more time henpecking each other than serving God? Don't be the person that deserves to be henpecked. Don't be the person that deserves the distraction of the despitefully being used. Don't be that person. Be the person that is not willing to harm another. Be the person that thinks before they speaks. Be the person that thinks about what could I do here that would be godly, as opposed to what wouldn't be godly. I know that preach is easy. That teach is easy. The most difficult thing you'll ever do. The most difficult thing you'll ever do is say something nice about somebody that you know doesn't like you. Most difficult thing you'll do. The Bible talks about it. It talks about do something nice for somebody that doesn't like you. It's like heaping coals of fire on their head. That sounds fun. We use that too. I mean, it's the first thing. Boy, that's an out. Thank God he gave me an out. I can still have retribution and be nice. Woo-hoo-hoo! I don't want them to feel that way. I would rather have friendships with everybody that I've ever met in the past. I've ruined some friendships. I've ruined them. I've ruined them because I couldn't control my mouth. I would never ask you to raise your hands because you don't have enough of them. If you've ruined a relationship because of your mouth, it's a festering sepulcher, your mouth is, full of poison. We should be careful. My dad's a quiet man. Preacher's dad was a quiet man. You know what quiet men have the luxury of? Never having to worry about people talking about them because they're quiet. We've got to be careful as Christians. See, we're fighting a battle, and the devil has gotten his talons very deeply sunk within the Christian realm because he keeps us busy with things that we ought not be busy with. He keeps us busy with tearing at each other and cutting each other's legs out from under us when, in all actuality, well, Brother Dave, you don't know what they've done. I know. And there's been things that have happened to me that just are ridiculous. Wrong that a person would even do that. And because of that, I reacted stupidly a few times. But that's not what the Lord tells us to do. The Lord tells us to be Christian. He'll give you the ability to do it. Verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise. It's his sun, by the way. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. We wonder sometimes, this crosses our mind, how can people that we know are ungodly succeed? How is it that wicked people continue to do well? How is it that poor people tend to be the ones that serve God, but wicked people tend to be the ones that get glorified for it? Why is that your business? How godly somebody is not your business. And because they have worldly success, does that make it good success? Because they have worldly success, because they get worldly accolades, because they live in a mansion on the hilltop here, does that make them satisfy God there? None of our business. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. But I'm going to tell you right now, you've got somebody else to worry about that's vastly more important than that person. That person is the one you look in the mirror to every day. Are you pleasing God? Are you serving God? Are you having a form of godliness but really not godly? Are you being a person that cares about souls going to hell? Are you being a person? I got to be honest with you. If we were more paying attention to ourselves, I'm talking to me today, not just to you. I'm going to tell you, if we would pay more attention right here, we wouldn't worry about what's going on out there, and we'd get a whole lot more done for God. Man, that's good preaching. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Everybody loves somebody that loves them. That's not hard. Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you have more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. In this world, I can't figure things out. I can't figure out why people do what they do. I can't figure out why Joel Osteen runs 80,000 and we run 250. Can't figure it out. I can't figure it out why people would look at the televangelists that have fake hair and big ears and say that that's what we want to be like. I can't figure that out. I can't figure out why we as Bethel Baptist Church have not been blessed with the money that we need to build a building. I can't figure that out. But make no mistake, my friends, it's going to come. I can't figure out why it's taken us so long, but I will tell you this. I wonder if God's not trying us by fire right now. I wonder if God's not seeing what kind of resolve we'll have at Bethel or if we're willing to jump ship. I can't help but feel like the Lord is trying to put us through something that when we do, finally get out there to that property, we have our first service in that building, I wonder if there'll be a dry eye in the room that day. Because of all the tragedy and all the fighting and all the praying that we've gone through to get to that place, I wonder if that won't be a wonderful day that we'll praise God for that. And I wonder if God would have given us the money right away, if we would have done it right. Come on, think with me now. If God would have done it in the thought process that we have, because I will be the first to tell you, when we found the land, I thought we should have been built within a month. We should be building right now. Glory to God. Let's go get it. Let's get it done. I wonder if we should wait on God. Now listen, and the reason I say that is this. The reason I say that is this. Not just because of that. What about you? I wonder if things happen that we deem in our lives as bad. And maybe they're not really bad at all. Maybe they're just something that God has put into your life to see what you'll do with it. Maybe God is doing something with your life. Well, Brother Dave, that's just mean. I don't know. There's some things that I put my kids through to make them better kids, to make them understand that maybe they ought not stick a knife into a light socket, that maybe they ought not put their hand on a hot stove. Maybe they ought to be a little bit more quiet, or a lot more quiet. I wonder if I put my kids through things, am I being a mean dad? Now, come on now. Am I being a mean dad or am I being a good dad? Because there's going to be a day when they're out on their own. And if I didn't teach them, you better hold on to your money because you don't want to go through what I went through. You better not get into credit cards, kids, because you don't want to go through what I went through. I'm going to teach you that you ought not have everything. I'm going to teach you that I'm not going to provide everything. I wonder if God is trying to teach us something here. I wonder if God is trying to see if we'll be children of Him, ready to obey. The last two messages in chapel, I'm all done. The last two messages. I didn't tell him, Brother Mark preached the last one. I preached the one before that. Both messages dealt with obedience. If you study the Bible just a little bit, God gets highly irritated over disobedience. Highly irritated. And I'm talking about to the letter, God wants you to obey. You ask the fellow that tried to steady the Ark of the Covenant when it fell off of the ox cart, Uzzah, remember him? He was walking along and the ox cart took a bump and started to go like this. The Lord said that that thing ought to be carried on the backs of men and only touched by the Levites. So David says, well, I'm going to give my people a break and let the ox cart handle that. It's a brand new ox cart, glory to God, brand new. We're bringing that thing in a Cadillac. God ought to be happy with that. He went it on the back of his men. Men didn't carry it. Started to upset. Uzzah put his hand out so it didn't fall. Nothing bad with that. Just don't want the thing to fall off. Uzzah died. Right now. Why? Disobedience. Disobedience. Do you think God is interested in having us obey what He says? You think He's interested in having you obey? To obey is better than to sacrifice. Give all the money you want. He'd rather have you obey. Yep. Christian, I got to be honest with you. These are some of the most difficult verses you'll ever obey in your entire life. But He still expects us to obey. I'm thankful that I'm at the end of God's law versus man's law. Because if it was man's law, I'd take everybody out that ever got mad at me. Wouldn't that be fun? You're envisioning it right now, aren't you? Yeah. But God said, pray for them. God said, love them. God said, help them. And if you do that, you're going to feel better here, because I got to be honest with you. The firing line's not going to take away the bitterness, Christian. The firing line's not going to take away the hatred. The only thing that's going to take away the hatred is you letting it go. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to teach, Lord. I thank you for helping to teach me. It's funny, Lord, how many times that this has to be taught to me. It's funny, Lord, how I see the reward right away when I do what you tell me. I see the reward. I have been in the place where I have prayed for and loved and cared about my enemies. I've been to that place, but then it seems amazing how many times I'll revert right back to doing the fleshly thing. Oh, God, help me to always want to obey what you tell me. Help me to get through the times when I'm angered, and help me to get through the times when I'm bitter. Help me, Lord, to let go of those things. And Lord, help the people that are here today under the sound of my voice. Help them to be able to let go. Because we've got a battle that we're fighting. And we have no time. We have no time to tear up our own ranks. We need everybody to serve you. So let's pray for each other today. Let's help each other today. Let's look to you today and obey. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.